stop? Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
All right. We're back. I took a little extended vacation there. Hope you missed me. I missed you. I want to say a lot happened while I was out. Right up to this week when Israel sent ground forces into the Gaza Strip, the USSR either directly or indirectly shot down a Malaysian airliner. The Hobby Lobby decision has happened while we were out. Nixon has extended his vetoes while we were out. And we've got a lot of amendments coming up on the August ballot to talk about. I promise you in the next couple of weeks we will touch on these things. This weekend, though, is a weekend of mics for us. We have Mike Slack tonight coming on. He'll be talking to us for a while about the Preppers and Patriots Expo happening in Springfield on August 16th and 17th. We'll be looking forward to that. We're going to hear about it. We're going to hear about how you can get involved in it, what you need to do. If you're a vendor or an exhibitor at a Prepper or Patriot-type expo, we'll tell you how to get a hold of Mike and get involved in that. And tomorrow night, we'll be talking to Mike Moon. Mike is, and I want to tell you, I want to kind of parlay our chat with Mike Moon tomorrow right into the last half of tonight's show. My vacation was brought on to some extent by just me being tired. I do work overnights, 40 nights a week, 40 hours a week, and then I do this show twice on the weekend. I have an otherwise active life as well, both in and out of politics. And I was just worn down. But more than that, I was really facing an incredible discouragement, and I know that's not an excuse. I know that's not right. I think about the discouraging events that people, patriots like George Washington and the founding fathers faced year after year after year, I feel like a weenie for just needing to take some time off to regroup and get my head together. But it goes on and on. We're going to talk about later in the show tonight about an extended conversation that went on in one of the social media outlets this week, an extended conversation specifically about the McDaniel loss, and we're going to kind of parlay that into a preview of our visit with Mike tomorrow night. It amazes me, my brother and sister friends who are Republicans, listen, it's over. You know, it is over for you. I understand your loyalty to the party. I understand your desire to rein your party back in. But it's over for you, and it is certainly over on the national scene. It might be salvageable still if you will set your sights where they belong, and that is on the state of Missouri. Brothers and sisters who are patriots, whether you be Republican or not, whether you be libertarian, whether you be constitutional, whether you be, and when I say constitutional, I'm talking about the quote-unquote party, not particularly constitutional. Whether you be independent, if you are a patriot, it's over. As far as the national stage goes, it is over. It is finished. We are in a post-constitutional era. The Constitution is gone forever at the national level, unless you take aim at state sovereignty. The only way we're going to get this country back, brothers and sisters, is to prepare our states, state by state by state, to go to Washington, D.C., and take their rightful places at the table of power and say, no more. We own this. You don't own it. We, the 50 states, we own this government. You don't own it, executive. You don't own it, judicial. We, the 50 states, represented in the United States Senate, and the people of the United States represented in the People's House, we run this program. You don't run this program. This is a republic. It is not a tyranny, and we are taken over. Now, that sounds well and good, but your state isn't even ready to take that place at the table of power. Isn't even ready. Right now, we have a Thad Cochran-type situation going on in the state of Missouri. We have an elitist Republican Party trying hard to unseat, I say, the most constitutional representative we have in the Missouri State House, at least as constitutional, at least as patriot, as any other sitting up there. And we have Republicans, loyal patriots. We've been talking about this. We've been begging for help. We've been raising a ruckus. We've been preaching and preaching and preaching about what's going on down here in Lawrence County for 3 months nonstop now. And we have people out there who are truly good friends of mine, who are truly patriotic, who truly want to save their own Republican Party, who are saying, I don't even know what's going on there. We have blasted this news out. We have developed special Facebook pages for it. We've developed special websites for it. We've talked about it night after night after night on Blog Talk Radio. We have posted about it. We have driven people to the pages. We have done everything we could. We have begged people for money. We've begged people for support to fight off the elite Republican establishment that is trying in the primary to unseat one of the most constitutional representatives in the state of Missouri. And we have patriots out here saying, well, I live on the other side of the state. What's it got to do with me? Listen, until you get your head out of the sand, until you are ready to take on your own party's establishment, your state is not ready to take its place at the seat of power in Washington, D.C. and say, hell no, we own the show. And until the states are ready to do that, it is a lost cause. I'm telling you, if these Republican primaries going on at the Washington, D.C. level of government don't tell you that, then there's no hope for you waking up. Yes, you're going to make some gains. You're going to have some lees. You're going to have some cruises. You're going to have some, I hesitate to say Rand Paul because he's becoming a sellout more and more every day. But you're going to have some of these wins. But you're not going to unseat the power elite in Washington, D.C. until you are ready for your state to take its place with the other states and say, we are the sovereign states of the United States of America, and this is our show. You're not going to put this federal government back in its box until you have a sufficient number of states that are ready to say, we're taking over. We bore you. You didn't bear us. You are our child. We are not yours. You, federal government, belong to us. And your state, Missouri, isn't even ready yet for that step. We'll be talking about that a lot here in the last half of this show, and we'll be using that as a preface to our interview tomorrow with Mike Moon, live from the campaign trail, where he is fighting the political elite who are trying to unseat him. We're going to talk then a little bit on the last half of tomorrow night's show about the specific constitutional amendments that you're being asked to vote for in the August election, and we'll be carrying that over into next week's show. There is a constitutional amendment known as the Right to Farm Act. It's causing quite a stir, quite a flurry. Just as an aside here, I want to ask you a question. You Monsanto haters out there, and I'm among you, but for different reasons. I mean, I'm a Monsanto hater, but for different reasons than a lot of you. What is, someone call and answer this question for me. What is a Beefmaster tomato? What is an Early Girl tomato? What is a Yukon Gold potato? I'll tell you what it is right after our first break. But if someone wants to weigh in on that, go ahead. What do those three vegetables have in common? We're waiting for Mike Slack. He should be here in a minute or two. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and I'll come back, and we'll discuss the tomatoes and potatoes, and then we'll talk to Mike.
To cold climb, come springtime, so let me hear you say, to me.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
We're back. I'd like to say thanks to Missouri Grassroots Coalition for sponsoring Missouri Grassroots Radio. Missouri Grassroots Radio is where we are every Friday and Saturday night, minus our vacation we just came off of. Also on Missouri Grassroots Radio, you can pick up Cynthia Davis every Tuesday night with Homefront, and every Wednesday night, Lisa Payne Nager, the culture vigilante, will be along. Okay, what do beefsteak tomatoes, early girl tomatoes, and Yukon gold potatoes have in common? What do they have in common? They are, hold your horses, genetically modified organisms. Someone in a lab took years and years of crossbreeding, of rebreeding, of reblending, and then saving, reblending, and then saving, reblending, and then saving, till they modified a plant genetically. Till they modified a plant genetically and gave us beefsteak tomatoes, early girl tomatoes, and Yukon gold potatoes. So, I don't really get the whole genetically modified organism thing. I don't really get that whole thing. Now, I'm opposed to Monsanto because they buy the government. I'm opposed to Monsanto because they are crony capitalists. They are people who use their power and their money to buy your government. That's my opposition to Monsanto. Now, as far as whether a state, a sovereign state, should and can force a company to label their genetically modified foods, well, okay. That's doable. That's doable. But you GMO haters need to come along and let me know sometime exactly what your hatred for GMO is. But along those lines, we'll be talking a lot in the next 2 or 3 weeks about this Right to Farm Amendment. It has a lot of negative from the liberal side. It has a lot of positive from the liberal side. It has a lot of negative from the conservative side, and it has a lot of positive from the conservative side. And that makes it the most interesting issue on the ballot. We may spend an entire hour or more on that one. We have this this gun amendment. We have the sales tax. So we'll be talking about those things in the week to come. But just as a reminder, tonight we're getting ready to talk to Mike Slack about Preppers and Patriots, and tomorrow, continuing our weekend of Mike's, we're going to talk for an extended period of time to Mike Moon. I think Mike's in the studio. It's Dave, who's this?
This is Mike. How you doing, Dave?
It's Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good, and it's the Mike Slack, not the Mike Moon. Mike
no, Moon's I tomorrow, I get that. Right? Mike Moon's tomorrow. That's
okay.
Absolutely right. But you got the mic tonight, Mike on the mic, and how are things going down there and there?
Very good. And, you know, I was actually on a radio program a couple hours ago with another Mike Knox of White Harvest
Company.
Oh,
yeah.
And we're on James Stevens' Dr. Prepper
right.
show. So, and we had a mic with that, too, so we've been overloaded with mics today.
Oh, cool. Well...
Hey, I wanted to mention one thing before we talk about the expo.
Sure.
The blog truthfarmer.com, I'd actually recommend that all your listeners go to it tonight or tomorrow. That's Doreen Hannes with the Property Rights Coalition, her blog. And there is a very interesting discussion going on the so-called right to farm constitutional amendment. An awful lot of folks... with a lot of good points, and a couple of folks who seem to be drinking the Kool-Aid from Monsanto. And so I'd just like to encourage folks to go on there and make some comments. And I am hoping, of course, everybody can vote the way they wish, but I'm hoping for an awful lot of no votes on Amendment 1.
Okay.
And
let's repeat that now for the listeners. That's blogtruthfarmer.com, right? blogtruthfarmer.com.
No, it is a blog, but it's simply...
Oh.
You simply put truthfarmer.com. That's
okay.
The name of
truthfarmer.com.
It.
Truthfarmer.com. Okay, folks. Not right now. Okay, stick with us here. All right, but later, when we're done, go check out that discussion. Well, for that matter, you know, you're on the Internet now, as long as you keep us in another window so you can hear what's going on here. There's nothing to see. Neither one of us are very pretty, and you can't see us anyway. Well, I speak for myself. I don't
we
know,
both
Mike.
Have faces for radio, right?
Exactly. But that's truthfarmer.com. A little discussion going on there, yeah. Mike tells us, about Amendment 1.
One thing I'll mention here, too, is way back almost 2 years ago when the Amendment 1, so-called right to farm, was being discussed in the legislature before they voted on it, Doreen and I and Bob Parker, a lot of your listeners know, Mike Evans, we were all doing a lot of, I guess you'd call it lobbying, expressing our opinions to our legislators that we saw potential danger in this bill, the way it was written, and that changing the Constitution needs to be approached only as a last resort. The folks on the other side kept talking about animal rights activist groups from out of state, and they're still talking about them, but I asked them why they simply didn't come up with a law, a regular law, not a constitutional amendment, addressing that issue. They told us it would not pass in the legislature. Now, it seems rather dishonest to me to be approaching it the way they are now. And no one has yet told me how this would be beneficial to small farmers. And I do see ways that it could actually be very harmful. But I've asked them several times. Nobody can ever come up with an answer as to how it would be beneficial.
Tell us ways it would be harmful, Mike, for the audience here.
Well, the first thing is even the folks from Farm Bureau and the Missouri Farmers Care Group, the umbrella organization that is supporting it, they say that they're just going to wait until the courts determine who is a farmer and who is not a farmer. That scares me a bit. I don't have an awful lot of trust in the courts or the regulatory agencies to determine if I am a farmer or if you are in my neighborhood. You know, we've seen regulatory agencies, destroy morningland dairy in the past. We're having lots of problems right now with the Department of Natural Resources, another regulatory agency, in trying to take away a lot of our water rights. And I trust state regulatory agencies about as much as the average Cherokee trusts the Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's probably not a lot. Also, they've not, in my opinion, many of those on the other side have not been honest about who is supporting and who is not. There are a couple of representatives kind of traveling the state right now supporting this who are trying to say that Monsanto has no involvement with it whatsoever. It is true that it's very hard to see their involvement, but you can check on campaign donations that were made to different representatives, including the two sponsors of this. Now, one of the sponsors did not have direct donations made to him by Monsanto, but he did receive $5,000 from a political action committee that had received $50,000 from Monsanto. The other, that was former Representative Jason Smith, now Congressman. And, you know, he's been with us on a lot of issues. He's done a lot of good things, but I do not approve of what he did here. And then Representative Reibold, who seemed like a nice guy when I talked to him, but he seems to think that GMOs are perfectly safe and throws out studies that say they are not, and turns instead to other studies that were funded by Monsanto that say they're safe. And he'd received quite large campaign contributions from Monsanto. And quite a few of the others that are expressing support.
Let's take a sidebar here for a minute, because before you came on, and I have no love for Monsanto. In fact, I have I explained to the listeners that I have a disgust for Monsanto, but my disgust runs to the politics end of it. I don't approve of crony capitalism. I don't like it. I don't like companies that buy the government or that buy their way into things. But tell us, you know, what the examples I gave were beefsteak tomatoes, early girl tomatoes and Yukon Gold potatoes, which are in fact genetically modified organisms. I mean, which are in fact products that were designed in a laboratory over years and years of crossing breeds and saving seeds and recrossing until we came up with these these things that were modified genetically.
They're not GMOs, but hybrids. Hybrids come from saving seeds, crossing species, subspecies, with potatoes, for instance, and coming up with hybrids. And I don't have a problem with hybrids.
Okay.
I prefer with vegetables heirloom seeds because you can save the seeds and get the exact same product again the next year.
Right.
Hybrids, you may or may not, probably will not.
Exactly. Right.
The GMOs come from actually splicing the genes.
Okay.
And
see, that's that's why I asked you that. I think a lot of people don't exactly even understand the whole GMO thing. Go through that for us.
Well, in the labs, you know, they have, and this sounds like science fiction, but it has happened. They have crossed spiders with goats to come up with
just genetic, just genes. I mean, you don't have a spider having sex with a goat, but we're just talking about splicing genes together here. Right, yeah. Okay,
There are vegetables that have had, there are vegetables that have had human DNA inserted into them, which in essence has you eating, you might think almost being a cannibal, eating some human DNA when you eat a vegetable.
Right.
Fish crossed with.
And we've talked about this for years when we talk about the human growth hormones in the milk.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And one of the things that worries me the most about GMOs is the most popular one, the one that most of us come into contact with every day, one way or another, is Roundup Ready corn and Roundup Ready soybeans.
Right.
97% of the corn raised in the U.S. is GMO Roundup Ready, which means the herbicide Roundup can be sprayed on the corn, they can be soaked in it, and it will kill weeds around it, but not the corn. Now, that sounds good, but the problem is the corn and the soybeans absorb the Roundup herbicide.
Sure they do.
It stays in the soil. It stays in the corn. And we wind up eating the corn. And if you don't think you're eating corn, well, you know, every time you drink a soda, if it's a regular soda, and it's not made in Mexico,
right,
it has high fructose corn syrup in it.
Correct.
Corn chips.
Ice cream.
Almost every processed food has corn starch. It's almost impossible to avoid Roundup Ready corn. Last time I read an article, I think it was 89% of the soybeans in this country are Roundup Ready. Or GMOs, most of them being Roundup Ready. And so the same thing happens there. You eat a soy product. And I know, you know, vegetarians and vegans who eat a lot of soy, thank you for somehow being healthier. And I've noticed most of the vegans I know do not look healthy. And I wonder if it's because of all the herbicide they're consuming. So that's one of my major problems. Another is simply the ethics of the company.
Yes, that's my
wind.
Yeah.
The wind causes pollination of corn from one field to another.
Mm-hmm.
If you're within 5 miles of a cornfield and you raise corn, your corn will be cross-pollinated by the other corn, probably.
Right.
And there have been a lot of instances of farmers raising non-GMO traditional corn or heirloom organic corn who have been sued by Monsanto because the DNA of the genes were being cross-pollinated by the wind,
right,
from the Roundup Ready corn.
Or the bees, or the butterflies, or yeah.
Yeah, in the case of corn, it's wind pollination, but with other crops, it would be bees, butterflies, et cetera. And then Monsanto has taken them to court, accusing them of theft of their intellectual property. And these cases usually don't go to court. Monsanto has deep pockets, millions of dollars to spend on lawyers, and they just outspend the farmers and force them to settle out of court.
Right.
Or go bankrupt, one or the other. And I despise that, and I don't think we should reward that type of behavior.
I don't. And we have Roy Blunt to thank for the Monsanto Protection Act, which led us to basically what you're talking about. I saw a really good graphic here on some Facebook site not too long ago that compared what you're talking about to you going out on a windy day and spray painting your house, and some of the paint gets on your neighbor's house, and then rather than your neighbor being allowed to be upset because you've painted his white house green, you get to sue him for stealing some of your paint.
Exactly. That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And, we don't have conclusive proof yet that GMOs are harmful. We don't have conclusive proof that they are not.
Correct.
But we do have a lot of circumstantial evidence that indicates that they may be harmful. And we have claims of them being safe from various studies that have been made that the Farm Bureau likes to quote. But in every case, every one of those studies was funded by Monsanto or by Cargill or one of the other companies involved in GMOs.
Right.
Or they've been done by universities that were receiving grants from Monsanto.
Right.
With the money in the background.
Now, and logic will tell you that they're not safe. I mean, that the practices that surround them, and let's just go back to this Roundup Ready corn, it's entirely possible that if you planted Roundup Ready corn and never sprayed it with Roundup, that there's no harm in whatever they've done to the corn to make it Roundup Ready. But the practices that this leads to, the soaking of corn in Roundup, logic tells you that it's harmful. On the Roundup can, it tells you not to spray your green beans within 6 weeks of harvesting.
Yes, that should tell you something.
Yeah.
They don't want you to do it within 6 weeks of harvesting, so you can't eat them.
Right.
And I've also found it interesting that the arguments Monsanto makes and the Farm Bureau makes in favor of GMOs is they always claim there is no significant difference between Roundup Ready corn and regular corn. But if there is no significant difference, how are they able to get a patent on it?
Right.
There has to be a significant difference to get the patent.
That's right.
So they're trying to have it both ways.
Okay.
So.
Enough of that. Let's talk about what's going on in Springfield on the 16th and 17th of August, Mike.
Well, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel at the corner of Glenstone and Kearney, we'll have the Preppers and Patriots Expo. The website is preppersandpatriots.net. You can get information there, or you can just give me a call. My phone number is on the website, or anyone who wants to jot it down, it's 417-264-2435. Just don't call until I'm off the radio tonight. And
right.
This is, you know, this came about because I've worked for the last 6 years with the Go Green Self-Reliance Festival in Thayer. And we were averaging sometimes up to 150 vendors there. Many of them local folks with handmade items or homegrown produce. Many of them businesses actually involved in something related to self-reliance or preparedness. For instance, White Harvest Seed Company, I was on the show with an hour or so ago. They're an heirloom seed company in Hartfield, Missouri, and a fantastic company, family-owned business. They were always there. Baker Creek Seed Company in Mansfield was there. I'd go green a lot. The Down to Earth Seed Company in Yellville, Arkansas was also there. And a couple of other heirloom seed companies, just as one industry example. Some companies that do solar power and different types of alternative energy. Well, I had a few vendors that I spoke with who said they would really like to see a preparedness expo in Springfield again. I think it's been about 3 years since there was a preparedness expo in Springfield. There was one in years past, and then it moved to a different city, and I don't know if it's continuing or not. Honestly, I haven't heard. But Springfield is the largest metro area, and it seemed we really needed one. So since these folks had said they would definitely be there and supported, and I'd gotten to know a lot of folks through the Go Green Festival and other activities that would be great speakers, had a lot of knowledge to impart, I went ahead and checked out venues in the area. The DoubleTree was really easy to work with. And they had a very large ballroom that would be perfect for it and a theater for the speakers. Got it booked, started making calls. Other companies that were at other similar expos in different states, local companies that seemed as though they could benefit. For instance, companies that make storm shelters. There's a local company that makes what looks like kind of a concrete bunker.
Right.
They're in Thayer, and I think they're also in West Plains. There are similar companies in the Springfield area. And, these things are great tornado shelters. They would also double as root cellars. And there are many other types of good storm shelters out there, and that's something we all need to think about. Preparedness, being ready for disasters or other problems, isn't just, let's say, the zombie apocalypse or a nuclear attack or an earthquake. It includes tornadoes.
Right.
Ice storms.
Civil unrest.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks are worried about our economy. What happens if we have massive inflation like the Weimar Republic and then suddenly it takes a wheelbarrow of $100 bills to buy a loaf of bread?
Right.
Sounds foolish to some, but it happened in Germany in the 1920s. And, they had a fiat currency as we have. So, anyway, we set it up, and I've really been happy with the response. Had a call from a company called Numana Foods this afternoon. They do a long-term storage foods, and they're coming up from Texas. In fact, there was another company, a general store in Texas, that has an awful lot of things like hand-powered grinders, the type of stuff you'd find in the layman's catalog or an Amish store, as far as appliances that don't require electricity,
right.
Including, say, grandma's old washboard.
Yeah.
And they're coming. and things that are a little more modern or modern twists on old technology, like steam engines. Mike Brown in Springfield manufactures small steam engines, and they can be used to generate electricity for your home burning firewood. And then, you know, most people are a little bit familiar with solar power. We have a lot of good companies in this region that make, manufacture, or import and sell solar panels, and we'll help you set your house up to be off the grid or just supplemented with solar power. There's a professor at MSU who teaches alternative energy, and he has a generator that runs on the wood gas system. I don't know if you're familiar with wood gas, but there's a pickup truck that has come to Go Green a few times that runs, basically burns firewood. The wood burns, creates a gas, and then that gas is burned by the engine instead of gasoline vapor. And that's an old technology that was used in during World War II in the Philippines, Australia, Germany, countries where they had fuel shortages. And the particular pickup that we've had in the past was on the cover of Mother Earth News about a year ago. A lot of folks have seen it. There's a man in Springfield named Doug Breathauer has a very similar pickup. And he said he would be at our expo. Of course, his pickup will be outside. We don't have room for it inside the hotel. But we will have this generator there. And Doug and the professor will both be able to explain the process. They'll give a talk on wood gas power. And if someone wants to get more information on it, they could, you know, they could get into the university program, take classes, get a degree in it if they wanted. Or they could buy plans from Mother Earth News to make their own pickup running that. All kinds of options they can explore. And, you know, we have a doctor in Branson named Jim Caesar, Dr. Caesar. And I first met him a few weeks ago, and he's very interested in being prepared for problems. And one of the potential problems in social unrest or economic collapse or many emergencies is having someone be wounded or injured and not having a doctor around to take care of it. So he actually gives a presentation on how to do suturing yourself without a physician. And then he sells an inexpensive suturing kit. And he suggests people buy those and simply store them away with their medical supplies. And when you get it, it includes a prescription to lidocaine. Because otherwise you'd be biting on a leather belt or something to you know, control the pain. But that stores for about 10 years, and it's a topical antiseptic. And you know, you can keep it for, 10 years or more and just pull it out when it's needed to deaden the pain in the area that's being sutured.
Right.
And I think that's great.
Sure. And you can buy these suture kits, folks, in any sporting goods store in the hockey section. Hockey players suture each other up on the bench.
Oh,
all
do
the
they?
Time.
Yeah. Didn't know that. I learned something new every day. And, yeah, I have a good friend here in the Thayer area, Don McPherson, who is a former Air Force medic and an EMT, ambulance attendant. But she has studied holistic medicine for years.
Good.
And home remedies. And she'll be there speaking on different kinds of home remedies that you can use if there's no doctor or pharmacist available. And a few weeks ago, I needed a mild antibiotic. And I went to see her and got a tonic she made using a mixture of garlic and raw honey. Both of which have natural antibiotic properties, and a few other items in there, a very natural antibiotic that works. And she has the products she makes herself to sell. Now, she'll be the first to tell you she's not a doctor, she doesn't charge for services, and she's not diagnosing, but she can sell the products that she makes.
Right.
And she'll also tell you how to make it. So you can, you know, just make your own if you'd like. But she'll be speaking, and on the website we say Preppers and Patriots Expo, 2 days that can save your life. And we're not saying that just to scare people. I really think that a lot of the information we have here can save a person's life down the road, including the knowledge of how to make an antibiotic or suture a wound, or the ability to make colloidal silver, which is another antibiotic. And we have one vendor there, Carl Ricard, who sells colloidal silver as a liquid. He also sells a machine you can use with silver in it to treat water and make your own colloidal silver. And, you know, a colloidal silver has been used for probably centuries. You know, a lot of folks know that you can take a silver dime, an old dime, and drop it into a gallon of non-pasteurized milk, especially goat's milk, which will go bad a little bit faster than cow's milk, in my experience, after a week or so. And it'll last a lot longer with the silver coin in there because that kills the bad bacteria or inhibits its growth. So, you know, silver is a great thing to have, and colloidal silver is something I try to keep around for wintertime when we have a lot of bacteria floating around,
right,
a lot of viruses. You know, it's not a cure-all, but it does help strengthen the immune system and kill some of them. So, you know, anyway, that's just one of the other things that a person can learn there. And we have several self-reliance or survivalist-type stores that sell a wide variety of products that are coming. The Just-in-Case store in Springfield,
right,
will be there. And Ozark Mountain Self-Reliance, which is out of Mountain Home, Arkansas,
uh-huh,
will also be there. And a couple others I'm talking to. We'll see if they're able to make it. Then I know White Harvest Seed Company also carries Noah's Pantry long-term storage foods.
Right.
They have some American-made farm equipment or garden tools and equipment. And we see Bob Gaskin will be there from Black Dog Survival School, coming from Tennessee. And Bob does a variety of things. He carries a line of essential oils, which are very good, a lot of health benefits. He carries long-term storage foods. And then he teaches classes on personal self-defense, tactical weapons training. You know, someone told me once that he wasn't afraid of the guy that had a dozen guns. He was afraid of the guy that had one gun and knew how to use it. And that's what Bob Gaskin tries to train people to become, the person that knows how to use one gun very, very well.
Right.
And you know, the reason I might emphasize the importance of that to you know, folks who are pacifists or just, you know, mind their own business and think they'll never need it, and hopefully none of us will ever need that information. But a friend of mine, Marjorie Wildcraft, who has the growyourowngroceries.com website, does a lot of really good YouTube videos on gardening and preparation. And several years ago, she said she was in a store talking about growing her own food and if bad times occurred, how much she would have. And this fellow turned to her and said, you know, I don't need to plant a garden. I'll never need one. And she said, well, why? And he said, well, because I'll come take yours. And,
yeah.
You know, showed the pistol on his belt. Well, next day, Marjorie went shopping, bought a Glock, and learned how to use it.
There you go.
And I think that was a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
So.
It's
it's
something that, it's something, as you said, you hope you never need. A good friend of mine who is who's got a lot of years in law enforcement and actually conducts training in tactical self-defense, has said, you know, I've never fired my gun at another human being, but when the time comes, by God, I know how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's,
hopefully none of us ever have to do that, but,
sure,
you know, knowing how could save your life or the life of someone you care about.
It absolutely could. Okay, we've talked quite a bit now about the the prepper half of Preppers and Patriots. Is there something in there that's more political?
The Patriot half, yeah. You know,
let's
we
talk
have,
about that.
Several...
I'm up against a break. Let's talk about, we're going to talk,
okay,
folks, when we come back, about the Patriot half of Preppers and Patriots, and I want to pay special attention to this, because so far what we've talked about, Mike, is something that, you know, my question at the end of all of that is going to be, you know, I have a lot of friends who are liberals. I know you do, too. Is there going to be things at this thing that could offend them? Because I'll tell you, my liberal friends, they're into heirloom seeds. They're into back-to-the-earth type stuff. They're into solar power. They're into alternative power sources. They're into things like that. And so we'll be looking at, when we come back from this break, the Patriot half of this and see if we're going to offend the liberals who might want to come out.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
You see the lambs in the ghetto who worship their Geppetto, believing it never seen the strings they think bind them. So we write to our congressmen with bleeding pins of the sorrow within and pretend they just send tickets. The latest Tom Hanks show. Welcome to the new Wild West. Each man for himself.
That's it, folks. We're back. I've been on vacation for a while. I've missed you all, as we said in the opening, but no better way to come back than with a power-packed weekend. Tomorrow night we'll be talking to Mike Moon live from the campaign trail. Tonight we are fortunate to have Michael Slack here with us. We've been spending the last hour just about talking about Preppers and Patriots Expo happening in Springfield on the 16th and 17th of August. He's given us a wide overview of some of the preparedness and self-reliance things that are going on there. What's the Patriot half of Preppers and Patriots, Mike?
Well, you know, first Dave, you asked a question a while ago that I've been pondering over the break, on whether or not we will offend some of our friends who are a bit left of center.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that they're as open-minded as they tell me they are, and then they won't be offended. They'll just become more knowledgeable.
Yeah, they're an open-minded bunch, I can tell you that.
I'm told that they're the party of tolerance. So
the party of tolerance, exactly right, yeah.
Yeah. The very first vendor to sign up, send in their contract, was the Missouri Constitution Party. And they will be there, well represented. And I don't know if Doug Inyart plans on making it to Springfield or not. They're a congressional candidate in the 8th District.
Right.
But I know that the guys in the Springfield area are going to be there. Harold.
Harold,
and
right.
Some of the other folks.
Sure.
Yes. And they are a good group, a very patriotic group. And
yes.
I'm hoping that they're well represented. And and you know, I always like to tell people that I'm all for the two-party system, as long as the two parties are the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party. And the Libertarian Party will be there also. And I'm looking forward to talking to them. I look at those two parties as being cousins. And politically, you know, a while back I realized that I'm much more libertarian than the average constitutionalist. But I'm a little more constitutional than the average libertarian, so I guess I'm kind of a hybrid. Maybe they splice my genes somewhere.
There you go.
But those two groups will be there, and the JBS will be there also, the John Birch Society.
Right.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, we had Dan Sexton, their regional director, down to speak at a group in Thayer. And I didn't even know they were still around until I ran into him at an event. And I'd heard things through the 60s and 70s growing up that said they were kind of crazy. And then I talked to him, and they weren't. They were basically pushing the same beliefs that everyone I knew had.
Right.
And I think they were the victim of an awful lot of propaganda in the 60s and 70s, from what I've read. But I leave it to everybody to make up their own mind. They'll be there with their literature. They have DVDs for $1 a piece to get an idea of where they stand on different issues and to educate people on the Constitution. And Keith Carmichael is probably listening tonight with the Missouri Convention of States, the Article 5 group.
Right.
And they will be there.
Good.
And,
will Keith be there?
Mm-hmm.
Will Keith be there himself?
Yes, he will.
Good. Be good to
yes,
see Keith again.
Yes, it's my understanding he will be there.
Good.
And I think that's a good opportunity for people to talk to him and the other folks and find out exactly what is meant by that.
Sure.
I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there that folks have.
A whole lot.
Yeah. And the best way to get over misconceptions is to get more information. So,
yep. I try to have Keith on here at least once every 3 or 4 weeks just to keep us abreast of how things are going and to keep the education cycle moving on that. You're right. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, a lot of the misconception is on the right side of the fence. A lot of the fear of this thing comes from people who consider themselves conservative and patriot.
It is, and, you know, amending the Constitution should never be taken lightly. I like the fact that they are trying to include a lot of safeguards in the amending. But I think it's something people just need to learn about, get knowledge, and that's the best place to start.
Right.
Also, Missourians Against Agenda 21 will be there. Ike Skelton and Ike and Doreen Hannes will both be speaking over the course of the weekend. Both are very knowledgeable of Agenda 21.
Right.
And, you know, when I first heard about that a few years ago, it sounded like a conspiracy theory.
Right.
And, you know, it might be, but it's also true. It's really there. And I think everyone needs to find out about it.
Oh, yes, and that
and
thing has...
And, see, I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say on the Patriot aspect, I was trying to run through our list real quick. John Moore, who is called the Liberty Man, on the radio, he is on the Republic Broadcasting Network every morning at 6 a.m. He's on Blog Talk at 8 a.m. with another show. And then he's on the Genesis Network twice a week with another show. So he's pretty busy. Retired Green Beret, former homicide investigator in the St. Louis area. And his topic is on what the government doesn't want you to know. And he's a fascinating guy to listen to. We also have Joyce Riley, who has the Power Hour radio program. And, you know, I first heard Joyce about 20 years ago on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, talking about Gulf War Syndrome. She's probably the most knowledgeable person out there about Gulf War Syndrome and health care issues relating to veterans. And she is not popular among the crowd at the Pentagon because she speaks the truth and she insists. And I apologize. My dogs have no manners whatsoever.
It's all right.
Bark a little bit. But they're well-intentioned. And anyway, Joyce will be there, and I was really, really pleased to find out that she would be. We have invitations out to a few other folks that we've not heard back from yet, but I'm hoping they make it also. We've asked Beth Ann Schoenberg with
Beth Ann, sure.
CSC Talk Radio.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic person, and I'm hoping she'll find the time to make it. And we'll just see how our schedule goes.
Okay.
And quite a few other folks. So
good.
Yeah, we've
now,
got Represent Patriots both.
Talk to us about the actual format here. Is this just like an open expo, or is there a stage and there are going to be speakers and presentations, you say, like center stage things? Is there a format to this, or is there a program that people need to get their hands on? If I can't make it for all of both days, what time do I want to make sure I get there?
Well, our website, by the time we hit 2 weeks before the event,
okay. We'll
have a schedule of speakers posted on the site.
Okay, good.
And we'll have printed copies to give out to people when they arrive.
Okay.
And we at this location, we have the ballroom itself in the hotel.
Okay.
Where the trade show aspect is with the vendors.
Right.
And then we had a very good problem in that we had more speakers than we actually had room for. A lot of good people volunteering, and I didn't want to say no to some of these really good folks. So we're going to have two speakers areas. One is an actual theater right next to the ballroom, holds about 200 people.
Uh-huh.
And then inside the ballroom, we'll have dividers up in another corner with chairs for a second area.
Good, yeah.
And it's I'm going to have to make it very clear to all the speakers, too, there is no... Hush. There is no reflection whatsoever on the importance of a speaker by where they are located.
Right.
It's simply that we had so many people in only one theater. But that will provide a choice. And some of the speakers will speak twice,
right,
once each day. Bob Gaskin, for instance, both days. And the subject of Agenda 21 will be covered on both days, Ike Skelton on Saturday and Dorian Hannes on Sunday.
Good.
And you'll have slightly different perspectives on the same topic, but, you know, they both know their stuff. So, again, as far as, you know, I'd recommend coming both days if at all possible. And it's $10 admission for the weekend, so, you know, pay $10 once early Saturday. You can be there all day, both days.
Okay.
And you're covered. Or leave, get lunch, come back. And
right.
We'll stamp hands, just like the bars during my college days.
And, exactly.
But we'll put it up on a wrist or something out of the way so it doesn't look like you've been to a party. And anyway, I'm really, really happy with the group we have coming. Spoke to one lady today, with the Swiss America company, who will be there to explain investing in precious metals. And I know very little about that subject, so I'm anxious to learn a bit about it. But I know that a lot of folks I know invest in gold. A lot of them invest in silver.
Right.
And I've even heard of people investing in copper and other metals lately. So she'll give us the straight scoop on that, and then people can decide if that's right for them. James Stevens, Dr. Prepper, who's actually been involved in what we now call the Prepper movement since 1973, so he's kind of the grandfather of it. He says he's going to do his best to get here, and he lives in the Southwest. It'd be a pretty long drive for him, but he says he's 90% sure he can make it. And I'm looking forward to that. He wrote one of the best books years ago on being prepared for emergencies and disasters. And if he's not there, I know his book is available for sale with two or three of our vendors.
Good. And, now, quickly, well, I don't say quickly because I'm not in any hurry to get rid of you. We've got almost an hour left. But if I'm a vendor and I'm just now finding out about this, is it too late for me to get in?
No, we have several spots left.
Okay.
And we'd love to have them full. And vendor tables are $300 each.
Okay.
I've been told that's kind of on the low side for this kind of an event. But we wanted to price it so that all the stores who want to be there could afford it. And one thing I'm letting people know, too, is the table money is not something to go in my pocket. The vendor fees for tables go towards our marketing expenses. We intend to do a lot of advertising, especially on the radio in the Springfield area.
Good.
The 2 weeks prior to this.
Good.
The more we advertise, the more people will know about it, the more people will attend, the more people learn this information and get these skills.
Are you,
in a sense, it's kind of like a mission.
Are you going to have a sit-down with Nick Reed, the popular local radio talk show dude?
Well, I've talked to KSGF, and we do plan on having commercials on that station. And the sales rep did say that we would be able to spend some time on their morning show with Nick Reed.
Good. Okay.
I talked to Matt Canovi yesterday.
Matt, right.
He has an event he's doing this weekend.
Right.
In Branson. Sounds good.
Yes.
And I'm hoping to be on his show too. We
good.
Have
a Saturday morning show. Yeah, that's well listened to as well. Yeah.
And of course KWTO. I've talked to those folks, and we'll be pretty heavy on all of their shows, including
good.
Their morning show.
Good.
And I used to work for KWTO. I like the station a lot, so you know I'm looking forward to that. KWFC, the Christian station. We've talked to them. They have a very nice ad package, and an awful lot of their audience are homeschoolers, and a lot of homeschoolers are interested in self-reliance.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I think that station will hit people we need to reach. We should have a large ad in the Community Free Press newspaper 2 weeks prior. I've had 1,000 very large full-color posters printed up in Springfield. It was actually designed by Jimmy Williams with the Property Rights Coalition, and he's either in Barry or Lawrence County. But
right.
Worked with Jimmy on the Firearms Freedom Symposium a couple years ago when Sheriff Mack and Lieutenant Governor Kinder were there. Real good guy. And I particularly like the Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag we have in the background. I think that gets across the patriot idea, since that was our original flag during the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And the same flag I have at my gate by my driveway.
Now, if I'm a political organization like the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, say I'm the Republican Party, does it cost me the same as a vendor?
Well, we try to discount the tables for nonprofit groups like that when we can.
Right.
So what I would tell them is get a hold of me as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Because the fewer tables we have left, the fewer can be discounted.
Okay.
And but they can call me or email me anytime, and I'll get back with them.
Okay.
And you know, I'd love to see the big two parties represented there also, the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah.
The odd thing at the Go Green Festival and some other events around here is I would invite them, and they'd never come. The Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, they would be there, but the big two never made it. I don't know why.
They don't think they need...
Could well be. And, you know, there are good folks in those parties, but I could never get the parties themselves to come.
Right.
And, so we'll see what happens. And any other political groups out there, liberty-minded groups. In fact, Keith Carmichael had recommended a couple of groups that I'll be talking to this weekend.
Good.
And we'll see if they're able to make it. I believe one was called the Missouri Freedom Alliance. And,
uh-huh.
He had sent some paperwork to them, so hopefully we'll reach him on the phone tomorrow.
Okay. We're up against a break here, folks. We're going to take it real quick. This is our last break of the night. We're going to come back with our final segment, which we're going to use to kind of wrap up with Michael Slack. We're going to find out what you need to do. We're going to remind you of things like websites and phone numbers and times and places. So stick with us.
You go fast and romp around and wrap around. People on the sample that are just so long. I don't have the gift of the prophecy, telling everybody how it's gonna be. There's a wildfire catching in the whip of the wind. Start a complication like this could never be.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Would it be right now, folks, just to throw in your hands and say, listen, I'm done. I'm done. Thad Cochran, bullshit. I'm done. You know, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, Chris Christie, I'm done. Well, you know, I'll tell you, before this vacation of mine, I can't tell you how close I was to that. But you can't give up. You can't quit. You can't stop. And here we are. I'm back. I'm invigorated. I'm ready to go again. You know, a little time off might have done me some good, but it sure set me to doing some soul searching and saying to myself, you know, we live in a nation given to us by people who would not give up. Handed to us by people who literally sacrificed their fortunes, their lives, every waking hour of their day for an entire lifetime to give us what we have. Who are we now to throw in the towel? I want to flash back real quick before we get back to Michael on that that last promo. Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're not a 501c3. We don't take dues. We don't accept donations. When we need to buy paper to print flyers, the executive committee each pitches in a little bit of money or prints out their own flyers and gets them out with our own printers and our own paper and our own ink. When it comes time to pay the bills, we all chip in and do it. And I say that because this last promo you heard, it is the only single thing that MGC collects any money for, and it's our annual Secret Santa. We started this on the year of our inception, and I want to say I know we're not a little bit behind. We're way behind this year, folks. The year is half over, and we're way behind. And I get it. I mean, I do get it. The economy sucks. We're all in bad shape. The cost of food is going up. The cost of gas is going up. The cost of providing for your family is going up. The cost of going to work is going up. The cost of working is going up. I get it. But when I look at how hard it is on me, and when you look at how hard it is on you, you've got to stop and think for just one minute, about how hard it is on people who aren't even nearly as well off as we are. The reason we run this Secret Santa thing all year long, we started it at the end of January of every year, and we run it right through Christmas Eve, when we actually go to the bank and get the money and go and spend it, is in recognition of the fact that October and November and December are tough, tough times for us to come and beg you for money. You've got your red kettles. You've got your church mission groups. You've got your own family to take care of. You've got the Toys for Tots. You've got Angel Trees. You've got all of these well-meaning organizations holding out their hand for you at the end of the year. And we understand that we don't want to, I mean, don't get me wrong, we'll be there the day after Thanksgiving begging you to continue giving. But we want to spread it out. We want to start in January. So, you know, if sometime in March or if sometime in July or if sometime in August you've got an extra $10 or $30 or $100, you can ship it in. Now every dime, we have no overhead. We have no advertising for this. We have no logistics. We have no cost of distributing the money. We have no cost of us five or six people getting in a car and going to Walmart or Kmart and doing the actual work. Every dime cent, every last dime goes specifically to buy these toys for kids. We don't buy anything for adults. We don't buy coffee tables and dresses. We buy toys for kids for Christmas. So do it when you can. Tonight would be great. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. In the top menu buttons, you'll find a button for Secret Santa, and just click on the PayPal button and ship us whatever you can. We'll take your $5 bill. We'll take your $100 bill. But I get it. and spread it out. I mean, if you can give us $5 in July and $5 in August and $5 in September for $15, that's fine. We'll take it any way it comes. And we sure appreciate it. And I'm telling you, I am telling you, brothers and sisters, if we mean what we say, when we say the government doesn't need to be in the business of charity, then we'd better be in the business of charity, because there's people out there hurting. Mike, thanks for being with us tonight, and let's just review. You've got an expo at the DoubleTree in Springfield, Missouri, on August the 16th and 17th. It's $10 for any or all of it. And tell us again the name of the website we can go to get the bits and pieces on this.
Sure. It's Preppers and Patriots, and is spelled out, preppersandpatriots.net. We're also on Facebook at Preppers and Patriots Expo.
Okay.
And, of course, they can give me a call, 417-264-2435. And I want to applaud what you were talking about right before then, too, on and you're absolutely right, on raising money ourselves. Last year, my wife and I worked on a fundraiser for the Salvation Army in our area, and I had a lot of local musicians come out and volunteer, and that was a really good experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of out of guilt. I always feel guilty in the cold around Christmas time when they're standing up there ringing a bell and never have time to go help them. So we did something in the summer months when it wasn't quite as cold. So
yeah.
Anyway, and you know, another thing too, a big part of preparedness that we didn't mention earlier, but we will be covering, is communication. We'll have someone out there to talk about ham radio and
ham radio,
radio,
yeah,
communication.
Great. Great. I've always been, Matt, speaking of Matt Kenobi, he had a guy, a ham guy, on his show last Saturday. I listened intently to that. I've always been intrigued by that. And you know, Mike, that's something I'm going to get into. I really want to learn how to do that.
It's easier than it ever has been in the past. They did away with the Morse code requirement. Morse code is just not used much anymore. So to get your license, you do have to have a federal license to use the radio.
Right.
But to get the license, you read a short book, you learn a few rules, you study it for a couple of hours, and you take the test. And the ham radio clubs in your area, I remember I took my license exam from the club in Nixa.
Right.
There's a club in Springfield that also gives the exam. We have one in West Plains. Every town has a ham radio club, and they are out there with first responders during disasters.
Right.
They voluntarily go out and provide communications after Hurricane Katrina. They were out in the muck helping people using generators for power, and they do a lot of great work, and a lot of folks don't even know they exist still. But the hobby is growing now because of interest in self-reliance. I know about 80 people in my area have gotten their licenses in the last year due to the efforts of John Price, the president of the Ham Radio Club here, and Kevin over at the Battery Station, a store in West Plains that sells preparedness products. They're in the club, very active. And, we promoted it with our activities. Mike Evans on his radio show promoted it down here. And I'm happy to see people get the license. And if you don't have a ham radio, a CB radio is valuable, too. And you can pick up CBs for $5 at garage sales.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And walkie-talkies you can find at Radio Shack. I mean, they all have a purpose. But getting a ham license is one of the best investments a person can make, and I think it's $25. No, it's not much. So.
Okay, well, Let's review quickly. It's an expo, trade show type booths with featured speakers in two different stages. It's 2 days. It's $10 to get in for both days. If you're a vendor, they need to call you. Drop that number again real quick.
417-264-2435.
417. Say it again one more time. People just barely got their pencils in their hand.
Okay, 417-264-2435.
Okay.
And it's on the website also.
Oh, good. Okay, and the website is Preppers and Patriots. You folks have to be familiar with the web, so you know the ampersand doesn't work in a URL. But if you're not, you spell that out, PreppersandPatriots, and it's a .net address, PreppersandPatriots.net. They also have a Facebook page, Preppers and Patriots Expo, on Facebook. There is going to be an agenda, so you want to be there. And what time should we be there Saturday morning to get there at the very start?
We open at 9.
Nine.
So I'd be there a bit early in case the line is long.
Now, for you folks that are out of town, the Doubletree is down on Glenstone. Am I still right on that? Just past Friendly Ford.
Glenstone and Kearney.
Right. Glenstone
and
Kearney. Okay.
Glenstone and Kearney.
Yeah.
It's across
the
street.
Right.
Across the street from the Walmart that used to be the Northtown Mall.
That's right. Okay. So that is on the northwest corner of Glenstone and Kearney. If you're coming in from the east, folks, just take I-44 all the way down to Glenstone. And as you come into Springfield, the first what I'd call major intersection is Kearney. You can't miss the Doubletree. It's on your right immediately when you're sitting at the light. If you're coming in from the west, you'd still get off at Glenstone. If you're coming in from US 60, get on 65. I would suggest go around Springfield to 44 and then come in from the west. If you want to come all the way through town, get off at Glenstone Republic Road exit and come all the way across town on Glenstone. If you're in Springfield...
And for those coming from elsewhere who have not been to Springfield for a while, it is the home of cashew chicken. Definitely something that you need to try when you're in Springfield.
It is the home of cashew chicken. It's the home of Bass Pro. If you haven't been to Springfield for a while, if you haven't been to Springfield for a lot of years, be prepared for a heck of a lot more traffic than you remember last time you were here, especially on a Saturday morning, especially with something as big as the Expo happening in town here. What kind of crowd are you expecting, Mike?
Well, you know, you're always just doing a guess when you say that, but... The last Expo in Springfield a few years ago, I understand, had about 5,000 people attend.
Wow.
That would be wonderful if we can have a crowd like that. But, you know, if we have 1, 2, 3,000, I'm happy because I think we're going to get quality people there. You know, you're only going to come if you're interested in the subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, people ask me that all the time. We're... hush, hush. Crazy dogs. But we will be dropping quite a bit of money on advertising, and the idea, of course, is to get as many people as possible. So,
absolutely.
If we do things properly, there will be a big crowd.
What I'd like to do, Mike, you and I will, of course, talk on the phone several times between now and then, but I want to get you back a little closer to the event. We won't spend as much time on it, but I want to get another good push and reminder out there for it. And I will certainly see you there. Both days. I'm looking forward to seeing you, seeing Keith Carmichael again, seeing some of my friends that I don't get to see very often. And we'll be touching base with you on that again. Hey, thanks for coming along. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for the Go Green Festival. Thanks for this. Thanks for all of the things that you're involved in. I know you are a super patriot, and I know that the state of Missouri would be a little bit worse off if it weren't for the things that you're doing out there day in and day out, Mike. We appreciate you, and I want you
Thanks,
to know
Dave.
That.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You too, sir. Michael Dawn Slack, Superman in the Patriot world, sponsoring, doing all the hard work on this Preppers and Patriots Expo coming up. For a review, that's preppersandpatriots.net. On Facebook, it's Preppers and Patriots Expo. Sounds like a great time. I'll be there for sure. At least most of both days. I'd like to be there all of both days, and I will make that my plan. I happen to be fortunate enough to be off the night before both of those days, so I think I'm going to make it. I promised you guys a lot of stuff in the last half of this show that I'm not going to be able to deliver because Mike and I spent just a whole heck of a lot of time talking about that, and I'm glad. A lot of things needed to be talked about. It's a much bigger, I'm telling you, and I've been on the phone with Mike several times in the last week or two about this expo, and I, even after all those discussions, had no idea how big this thing is. I mean, it is huge. Listen, and I know I've got liberal friends out there listening because I hear from you after every show with your snide little remarks, and bring them on. Bring them on. I can take it. But there's nothing in this particular show that should scare you away. These are the things that we all care about. These are the things that my liberal friends talk about. It's back to the earth stuff. It's self-sufficiency stuff. It's heirloom seed stuff. It's non-GMO stuff. It's solar panels and alternative energy stuff. It really is the kind of stuff you folks are into. So my dear friends who are a little bit left of me on the politics realm, because it says Patriots in the name, don't stay away. This sounds like a great, great expo for you. I'll see you there. It'll be great. Listen, tomorrow night I am absolutely excited again. And I told you we were coming back from vacation with a power-packed weekend. Tomorrow night I've got Mike Moon live from the campaign trail, fighting for you out there. If you listen to our show through the legislative session when we had Mike on every Friday, you know Mike Moon is the guy out there fighting for you. Mike Moon is the guy out there fighting for liberty. Mike Moon is the guy out there saying, this is what the Constitution of the state of Missouri says, and you're not doing it. You're not doing it. Let's get it right. Mike Moon is the guy that says, Governor Nixon, you are just not allowed to let these five seats in the legislature stay empty for an entire session. You are just not constitutionally allowed to deprive a quarter of a million Missourians of representation in Jefferson City. Mike Moon is the guy that represents you at the Convention of the States meetings, where they are deciding how best to tackle getting this convention going. And because of those things, Mike Moon is being attacked by the Republican Party of the state of Missouri. Because he is a constitutionalist, because he stands for you, because he believes in the things you believe in, the party is attacking him and mounting a primary campaign against him with an elitist Republican candidate to their liking. We'll be talking to Mike tomorrow. We'll be finding out a little bit about what Mike's about. We'll be introducing him to some of you folks and reintroducing him to others. But we're going to talk a little bit more about liberty. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Constitution. Listen, I get a little bit weary as we get into these discussions about the upcoming amendments of hearing someone say, this is not a function of government. This is a function of government. Education One guy I was in a discussion with last week decided that education wasn't a function of government. That roads, when we were talking about the sales tax, roads aren't even a function of government. What is the function of government doesn't come out of the Encyclopedia Britannica, brothers and sisters. What is the function of government doesn't come out of Webster's Dictionary. What is the function of government doesn't even come from Locke, doesn't even come from Bastiat, doesn't even come from the philosopher's Vole. What is the function of government comes from one place and one place only, and that is the constitution of that government. The constitution of the state of Missouri. So yeah, hell yes, roads is a function of government. If you don't like that, change the Constitution. Yes, education is a function of government. If you don't like that, change the Constitution. It belongs to you. So we'll be talking a lot in the next couple of weeks as we talk about these amendments about the function of government. The people of the state of Missouri decided that these things were prohibited the government, and these things were a requirement of the government. Everything in between is a gray area, and pretty much on a day-to-day basis up to the people through their representatives. So if you tell me something is not a function of government, you'd best be prepared to show me where the Constitution of the people of the state of Missouri forbids that of government. If you tell me that the government isn't fulfilling its responsibilities, you better be prepared to tell me where the people of the state of Missouri tell the government in the Constitution that that's their responsibility. That's what a tution is. A constitution is the function of government. And so we'll be talking about that a lot. We'll talk about it with Mike tomorrow. I'll see you then. Thank you to Missouri Grassroots Coalition for providing Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Dave. Good night.
There are so many contradictions in all these messages we send. Keep asking, how do I get out of here? Where do I fit?